at this time. I see adults going and no children. That's not a good sign. I always knew children's church was popular.
What I want to do to you, for you this morning is introduce our memory verse for June. But I'll warn you, as I introduce it to you, if you haven't already read it in your bulletin, as I introduce it to you, you might be with this one a little tempted to question whether our year verse is going to apply, whether it's going to be an easy thing, a simple matter in the eyes of the Lord to make this verse a reality in your life. So I'll put it on the screen. You can turn to it. You can read it in the bulletin. But our memory verse for June is Psalm 141:3. It reads this way. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Now maybe for some of you say, okay, that's not a big deal. For some of you saying, oh, wow. I don't know if that can be an easy thing for the Lord, a simple matter. Because I realize where I struggle in this area. But that's going to be our verse for the month of June. And as we said, we're trying to match our year verse up with different topics that that year verse could apply to. So obviously this one has to do with our tongue, with our words, with our mouth. But you think about it, we realize this is a struggle. James has already laid that out for us. But how many times have you looked back and wished there had been a guard over your mouth because of what you said? Or how often has something you said gotten you into trouble, and not necessarily because you even were trying to say something bad or wrong or cruel, but it still got you into trouble? Yeah, it happens, doesn't it? It does. Let me tell you a little story here. A man by the name of Bernard Baruch was an ambitious businessman, and he approached the wealthy J.P. Morgan, obviously this was years ago, approached J.P. Morgan about partnering with him in a Texas sulfur mining venture. The geologists had done their study, had came back with a very positive report, and so he was looking for an investor, and so he approached him, realizing, yes, it's still a risk involved. And in the presentation to J.P. Morgan, Mr. Baruch said this to him. He said, Mr. Morgan, you have taken bigger gambles than this. J.P. Morgan glared back at him and said in a very icy tone, I never gamble. And walked away. J.P. Morgan thought investing was a respectable thing. He thought gambling was a sin. And so this one little innocently misspoken word by Mr. Baruch cost him millions of dollars because J.P. Morgan did not invest in his venture. So if one innocently spoken word could cost a man millions of dollars, what could a cruel or unkind or angry word cause in people's lives? Many times they have ruined a person's reputation. They have destroyed relationships. And sometimes they have caused damage that lasts for a lifetime. Our words. I mean, how often growing up did you get into trouble because of something you said to your parents? You know, maybe for some of you, you didn't get in that much trouble for doing bad things, but your mouth made up for that because of the way you would back talk against your parents. And so you got in trouble because of your mouth, your tongue. How often have you wished you could go back and take something back that you said to someone? Or sometimes we'll say something to someone, cruel, unkind, sarcastic, disrespectful, and we'll walk away and we'll say to ourselves, I don't even know why I said that to them. I wasn't feeling that toward them. I didn't have animosity. I don't know. It just came out. And sometimes we're puzzled why we even say certain things at times. Someone said this. I'm not sure who it's attributed to. But they said, nothing is opened more wrongly at the wrong time than our mouths. And I think we could understand and agree with that. Although you may like this one. I saw this one actually posted this week. Sometimes my greatest accomplishment is just keeping my mouth shut. Amen? Or to put it in biblical language, Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. If there's any verse that we could testify to the truthfulness of it, this would be one of the top candidates that probably we could vote for. But the fallout from an unguarded mouth can be huge. It can destroy a reputation or a career because of what you say against someone or because of what someone says against you or even because of what you say about yourself sometimes. It can create an unfair prejudice toward someone. It can undermine sound doctrine. It can push someone away from the gospel. It can wound a spirit, many times in children, that lasts for years, even for their entire lives. It can erode a marriage. You know, it's not just physical abuse in marriage. There's such thing as verbal abuse, as you know. It can divide churches because of what we say, our tongues. And so the reason why we need our mouths guarded is because of the different kinds of situations where we are prone to say wrong things. Is basically endless. I mean, we say the wrong things out of cruelty. We say the wrong things out of anger. We can say the wrong things out of pride, out of insensitivity, out of ignorance, out of frustration, out of excitement, because we're down and depressed, because we're tired. All sorts of things. So let me put it this way. There is not a place or a time or a situation where we do not run the risk of our mouth saying something it shouldn't. It's just any kind of situation runs that risk. So how else will we be protected unless someone, capital S, someone comes and gives us the enablement to guard our mouths from saying hurtful or wrong things? So before we look at our memory verse for June, I would want us to look at a couple of things first. Let's go back to the verse we read in James chapter 3, verse 8, where he tells us, "No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." And then if you caught the rest of that passage, he doesn't mince any words as he describes the dangers of the tongue. He says, basically, we can control mighty ships, we can tame any kind of animal, but we cannot tame the tongue. He called it a fire ignited by hell itself. He called it an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so he says, no one can tame the tongue. And so we read that, and maybe we're saying, okay, I agree. But before we think we get a pass, because Scripture told us we can't control the tongue, you read other places in the Bible, and it's telling us to control what we say. Seems contradictory. But here are some of those verses. You know most of them, if not all of them. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification." That's not a suggestion, that's a command. Can't tame the tongue, but then it says, don't do this. 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech," and it gives some other things, "but in speech show yourself an example of those who believe." Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. "Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach." And then Colossians 4, 6. "Let your speech always be as with grace, as though seasoned with salt." And so these verses are calling us to be in control, right, of what we say. Tell us how we're supposed to say things, what we're not supposed to say. And so God holds us responsible. None of us are going to be able to stand before God and claim James 3 as an exemption for the misuse of our tongues. And so it's telling us to control your tongues. Then there are other verses in the Bible where you find someone explicitly declaring their personal responsibility and their personal determination to control their tongues. For example, here's two from David in Psalms. Psalm 17, verse 3. He says at the end of the verse there, you see it in yellow, "I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress." I've made it my determination, my purpose, with my mouth will not transgress. And then chapter 39, verse 1, he says, "I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. And so he says, I will guard my ways, I will guard my mouth. And if you think about someone guarding something, what comes to mind? What characteristic comes to mind? What I came up with is this. I'd call it active alertness. If a guard is doing his job well, he is active and he's alert to what's going on around him. And so David says we need that kind of active alertness in guarding our mouths. And he makes that declaration on his own. I will guard my mouth. And then in chapter 39 there, I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. Have you ever been in a situation where you actually may have felt, you picture that in your mind? You know, sometimes in conversations with people, there's a way I want to respond. And I have literally at times, literally felt like I had to put a muzzle on my mouth to not say what I felt like saying because I knew that it wasn't of the Lord. Sometimes it's helpful to have that picture. Lord, clamp it on there. Because what I want to say is not going to be honoring to you and not going to be building up to that person. It's going to be straight from my sinful flesh. So this is another great verse, by the way, to put into the form of a prayer. Lord, help me guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. Lord, help me to guard my mouth as with a muzzle. So look at all those verses, put them together. And what we have here are verses that talk about our responsibility. Calls us to our responsibility. Our part of the battle is I have purposed. I will guard. Calling us to that. And then we come to our memory verse, and it's calling on the Lord to do it. So which one is it? Is it him or is it me? Because you find both in the Bible. Well, to understand that, maybe it'd be helpful for you and me to think about a coin. You know, a coin has two sides. And so maybe you could think of it this way. Number one, I can't control. I can't muzzle my tongue, at least consistently in my own strength. Definitely can't ever do it in my own strength in a way that honors and glorifies God. Why? Because number one, the tongue is too powerful. And number two, the heart which the tongue speaks from is too sinful and too evil. And so I need the Lord to set a guard over my mouth, to keep watch over that mouth of mine, as well as the heart that it's speaking from. And yet, I'm supposed to make it my purpose. I'm supposed to make that determination as well. And so how do we put these two together? And a few years ago, I was reading, I can't remember the name of the book, but it was a book by Jerry Bridges, who's recently went home to be with the Lord. And he used a little two words, put them together, that at least clicked with me. It may not click with you, but it clicked with me. And he called it dependent responsibility. Dependent responsibility. What he means by that is we're responsible before the Lord to obey his word, to make it our determination to carry it out, to put to death the sins of the flesh, to put to death the sins of the tongue, and any other sins as well. But at the same time, we don't have the ability within ourselves, as I said, to consistently do that and to do it in a way that honors the Lord. I need the Lord to do that for me. And so, dependent responsibility. I have a responsibility, but I must be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to enable me to do it. I like that. Dependent responsibility. If it clicks in my mind, at least, I hope it does in your mind as well. So sometimes when you're reading the Bible, like in those verses I already gave you, it's talking about our responsibility and calling us to that perspective. Other times, such as our memory verse for this month, it's looking at God's enablement for us, his work in us, and focuses on that aspect of the picture. And so dependent responsibility. We're called to be responsible, but we're called to do it in dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God. J. Siglow Baxter, you know that name probably, said this one time. I thought this was right on target as well. He says, the proof that God's Spirit is in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue, but you control the tongue you do know. Because one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is what? Self-control. You know? And that's where the more struggle is, controlling the tongue I do know. So let's think about our memory verse. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Just like to just kind of walk us through that, looking at different words. So let's start with the very first word, set. And you see on the screen, it means to appoint, to fix. And so David prays, Lord, please appoint or fix a guard over my mouth. And as you see up there as well, we're talking about a permanent type of situation, not something temporary. Not where you're saying, Lord, would you put a guard over my mouth in this job interview I'm fixing to go into? Or Lord, would you put a guard over my mouth as I deal with this frustrating situation or person, even though that's proper to pray that. But the idea here is, Lord, I want you to do this on a permanent basis. Not just a one-time thing and then I'll take back over. But I want this to be a permanent thing, that you are setting, fixing a guard over my mouth so that it's happening in an ongoing, daily, persistent, permanent guard over my mouth. The second, next word we want to look at is the word guard. Nothing fancy about that word. It means guard or means to watch. As you see up there, it refers to a state of careful observation and watchfulness over something, a protective and a preventative measure. And so as I was thinking about this, how can we picture this in our minds? So let me ask you this question. What is the job of a guard? What is the job of a guard? And I thought about different aspects of what a guard does that would help us maybe in praying this part of the verse for ourselves. Number one, a guard protects, right? And so I could turn that aspect of a guard and pray, Lord, would you protect my mouth from saying anything it shouldn't say? Be it hurtful, being unkind, being disrespectful, sarcastic, whatever. But Lord, would you protect my mouth? That's something that a guard does. A second thing a guard does is a guard will restrict access. You try to go into a certain area, maybe in a museum or whatever, you know, guards there, you can't go in there. Restrict access, you can't get into there. And so I could also pray, Lord, would you restrict, as you guard my mouth, would you restrict what comes out? That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? Because a lot comes out that doesn't need to come out. Lord, would you restrict what comes out of my mouth? Another aspect of being a guard I thought of was a guard prevents escape. So he works in a prison or someplace. One of his jobs is to prevent escapees from getting out of prison. And so another way to pray, Lord, would you prevent from escaping from my mouth? Similar thing, very similar, but just different way of thinking about it. Would you prevent from escaping from my mouth anything that you would not want me to say? Then a last thing I thought of in terms of what a guard does is a guard keeps safe whatever he's supposed to be guarding, whether it's a thing, whether it's a person, or whatever, but a guard keeps that thing safe. So, Lord, would you keep my mouth safe from dishonoring you, from hurting people? So just, you know, as you think about the word guard, just think about a guard person and the different things he does, and you can turn that around and put that in the form of a prayer request to the Lord. All right, the next phrase is keep watch, and it means to guard, to keep, to observe, to preserve, to hide, but it also refers to a person maintaining something entrusted to them. And so here the part of the prayer could be, Lord, I have entrusted to you the keeping watch over the door of my lips, and I thank you that you take that seriously, and I can trust you to honor that request. Keep the door of my lips, that my lips may not open except what is proper and right and good in your sight. So Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. It reads this way in the New Living Translation. You may like this better. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Take control of what I say. Now I wonder if this verse had been a reality for you and me this past week, how many things we said would not have been said if this verse was being activated in our lives? How many things is just this past week did you and I say that probably would not have been said if we were seeking to really live out this verse? I read the story about an older woman. She was talking to a friend about the obsession with dieting nowadays. You can't turn on the TV without, and probably watch any program without seeing some kind of commercial for some kind of dieting thing. it's so much on people's minds. But this older woman said to her friend this. She said, listen, I didn't put it on the PowerPoint for you. She said this. She said, these days, I'm more concerned about what comes out of my mouth than what I'm putting into my mouth. I thought that was a pretty wise statement. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. Take this in the right way. This is not criticizing anybody. But we can be so concerned about what goes into our mouths. We can research it. We can study it. We can study the products. We can study the food. We can study the chemicals. We can study how it's grown, all those kinds of things. And we educate ourselves about the positives and negatives of this food and this mineral and this vitamin. And those are good things to do, not say anything bad about that at all. But to go back to what that lady said, the question is, are we as concerned about what comes out of our mouth as we are concerned about what goes into our mouths? In other words, sometimes we give ourselves in discipline and study and determination to be successful with what goes into our mouths. Do we give ourselves equally to the same study, determination, and so forth of what comes out of our mouths? And I'll just tell you, if you want to study it, the Bible has a whole lot more to say about what comes out of my mouth than what goes into my mouth. In fact, if you just study Proverbs, there are around 60 verses just in Proverbs that deal with the tongue, the mouth. Just in Proverbs, 60 verses. Do the rest of the Bible, find so much more. It has so much to say about what comes out of our mouths. So, there's our memory verse for June. As we wrap this up, let me just give you some, if you want to take this verse to heart, let me just give you some action steps to think through as you desire to see God work in you in this way and to give you better, greater victory over what you say. Here's the first one. Action step number one is I pray that you want to do something about it. Based on what the Bible says, whether it's this verse or many other verses we read or other verses we didn't read. But I pray that you would want to do something about what comes out of your mouth. And of course, you can always pray, Lord, would you increase that desire? So I really do desire for you to control what comes out of my mouth. So I pray that you want it. Second of all, ask the Lord to just make you aware. And I'm thinking about two different things in terms of awareness. Number one, ask the Lord to make you aware of why you're saying these things. In other words, am I saying it because, is it coming out of selfishness within me? Is it coming out of impatience that's in me? Is it coming out of unmet expectations I have? What is it? What's the cause of it? And it's not that person, trust me. What's the cause of it within me that's prompting me to say these kinds of things that dishonors you? So make me aware of that. Number one. Number two, just make me aware when I'm saying those things, because some people just run off at the mouth and they've got no concept of the hurt they've caused, what they've done, the damage they've done. So make me aware that I'm even saying these things, and this would probably be more my prayer request for me, not so much what I say, but the tone I say it in. I've created a lot more hurt through my tone than I have through the words, I think. So Lord, make me aware of the tone. What I'm saying may not be wrong, but the way I say it sure doesn't communicate well. So make me aware of the tone I'm actually saying these things in. Third action step, I don't think it's unbiblical just to say, Lord, I want to offer and dedicate this mouth. We're called to dedicate our bodies, but it's all right, just this specific aspect. Lord, I want to dedicate my mouth, the things I say, I offer up as a dedication to you, that it would be pleasing in your sight. Number four, action step, memorize Scripture. I mean, the Bible does tell us to hide God's word in our heart. Why? So that I might not sin against thee. That's a good game plan. So we memorize Scripture, and many of you, I don't know how many, but many of you, you're in environments every week where you're surrounded by surrounded by cursing and negativity and complaining and whining and all those kinds of things. You need to fill your mind with something better than that kind of stuff that you're hearing every single day. Memorizing scripture is a great way to do that. In this verse, it's not even a hard one to memorize. Okay, I gave you an easy verse for June. I know you're going on vacation, summer school, or I mean summer or whatever. It's an easy verse to memorize. There may be other verses that you would choose. But memorize scripture. Think about some of those things in that bombardment you get each week in the environment that you may be in at work or at school. And then the last one, action step number 5, is just to call upon God's supernatural enablement to do what you cannot do in and of yourself. And we had a great memory verse last month that fits right in with that. Yet those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Or as I constantly, expectantly look to the Lord, I can expect Him to exchange my strength for His. And the result is, we'll mount up with wings like eagles. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not faint. Or in other words, we'll be able to live in a way we could not naturally live in ourselves. So pray for that supernatural enablement. So there's our memory verse for June. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. One last thing. I realize some of you, you struggle more with this than maybe other people do. Trust me, those other people have battles that are more fierce for them than they are for you. But for those of you that maybe this is a particular struggle, this would be a great time to take this memory verse and match it up with our year verse and thus pray, Lord, this is such a hard thing for me to do. This has always been a struggle. It's always been a weakness. My mouth gets me in all sorts of trouble. But I know as I call upon you to guard my mouth, it's an easy thing. It's a simple matter for you to do for me. And I ask and trust that you will do it so that Christ will be honored, so that my testimony will not be hurt for Christ. And so match it up with our year verse, which is the whole purpose of choosing it anyway. So may the Lord do a good work in us in terms of our tongues and our mouths as we offer this prayer to Him. Let's pray. Father, as I said, your word has so much to say about our tongues and our mouth. So it must be a pretty big deal. And so, Lord, I pray that as we focus on this verse for June, that we would sincerely offer it up to you as a prayer each day and see you set that guard over our mouth and over our lips. That our mouths and our words might be used to help, encourage, strengthen, to steer people towards you, to honor you, to not give in to all the junk that people say in our culture, to be set apart as children of light in this perverse generation. And Father, not just setting a guard over our mouths, but for your work in our heart from which the mouth speaks. And do the change that's needed there as well. Lord, I know there's testimonies here of people that could say that they've seen you do this in their life. And we just ask that that would be a deeper work, that you would excel still more in that work in our lives. That we might be people that would honor you with our tongues and with our words. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.